Stand to your feet. Let us give honor to whom honor is due. And help me bring to this pulpit Reverend Oti Boateng from Love Economy Chapel. Come on, put your hands together.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I feel like doing what Bishop Oko did. Wow. Hallelujah. You know, Mommy always says I'm a friend. I'm not a friend. Please don't be... Don't be deceived. I'm not saying Mommy is deceiving you, but I mean, don't be deceived. Yes, I'm a son. And yes, I am, actually. I always say, without controversy, thank God for that scripture, without controversy, the less is blessed by the greater. And Mommy has blessed me. Mommy has blessed me. Mommy still, you know, Mommy has blessed me so much, giving me many opportunities. I'm on the Healing Jesus board because of her recommendation and because of Bishop Bruce's recommendation. Yes. They called me and said, you have to be on. It's amazing. You know, she organized for me to meet Bishop Dark for the first time. Yes. I mean, she's pushed me to good places ever since I met her. She said so many beautiful things to me that has helped me mightily. That's the truth. I mean, I've never seen a selfless person like Mommy. I mean, it's remarkable. You know, there are ministers who will not help you if you are not from their ministry. Yes, they will not help you. They will not mind you. They will exploit you. They will forget about you. But Mommy has helped me. Yes, mightily. You know, Mommy, I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Bishop Bruce has been a great blessing. Great blessing. Great blessing. Great blessing. I remember I sat with Mommy and Bishop Bruce some time ago, you know, discussing something with them, and Bishop Bruce said, don't do it like this. Do it like this. Yeah, don't even think about it. Don't do it. You think that it's something fine, but it's not. Do it like this. Yes. I said, wow, let me just do it the way they are saying so that I'll be free. Amazing. And I did it and it's working. Hallelujah. Yes. So I'm blessed to have voices in my life, you know, people who can lead me mightily. You need a man. We can't overemphasize it, you know. Whenever I preach on church growth to any ministry, if I'm invited somewhere to preach on church growth, the first point I make is church growth through God's divine administration. God has an administration. You can't jump it. If you jump it, it don't work. And that administration is a man. That is God's divine administration. God told Moses, I have come down, I've seen the afflictions of my children Israel, and I have come down to deliver them. I have come down. Then he said, come and let me send you. Come and let me send you. If you have come down, then deliver them. Do the thing. Do. Why do you need me? Yeah. He called Moses, come now and I'll send you. Yes. Without Moses, nothing would have happened for Israel. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5, he says, who then is Paul and who then is Apollos? But ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So the Lord gives you somebody by whom you believe. Without that person, you will not believe. You'll be surprised. You will not believe anything. In John chapter 6, they said to Jesus, teach us what to do, how to work the works of God. And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on the one whom he has sent. There are many aspects of Jesus' life that you must believe. You need a man's strength of God to you to help you believe. Or else you can't come mightily into anything. No, it can't work. The anointing you're looking for is upon a man. The grace you're looking for is upon a man. It's not in heaven. It is right here. It's right here. Yeah. Yes, it's right here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, he said, Paul said that when they perceived the grace of God that was given unto me, Paul had grace. But contrarywise, when they saw the gospel of the circumcision committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, next verse, they gave unto me the right hand of fellowship. For he that wrought mightily, next verse. And when James and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived, when they perceived the grace that was given unto me. Brothers and sisters, there are men with grace. If you don't locate them, you will live a graceless life. That is the truth. That is the truth. You struggle for nothing. Church growth, church planting is a grace. Church construction, building is a grace. And it is in Bishop Dag. That is the truth. I mean, I don't know why you want to fight it. But that is the truth. I honestly don't know why some people are very, their IQ is low. It's unfortunate. It's like Chocomilo type of brain. You wonder. Right, Koshito mix type of brain. No. The man has it. We can't do anything about it. If you get close, you receive. Yeah, if you get close, you receive. I'm in ministry because of the messages he preached. I got to know when to come to full-time ministry because of his messages. And I got to know what to do. I've never been to Bible school. Never been to Bible school. I'm just learning on the go. Yes. Grace to build. He has it. Yeah. Take your seed and go and receive grace. Yeah, that is the just take your seed and go and receive grace. He doesn't even need to know that you have come to give a seed. Just give a seed. Receive grace. Walk at an acaso. Receive grace. Go to the various cathedrals. That's what I did. Just go. We visited almost all the cathedrals. Everywhere, every corner. We've gone. You see me, I'm driving there. We are going on a tour. I take two or three pastors, we are going. Let's just go and walk around. They don't even know we are there. We are just walking around. Yeah, that's what you do. We are just walking around. Yeah. I've been to Bishop Sam's place. I've been to Bishop Adi's place, Bishop Ogo's place, Bishop Asari's place, Bishop Intefo's place. Bishop Atu Dixon's place. They don't know I've been there. They don't know. They have no idea. I'll just come and move around. Yes. That's a drone moving around. I am not a fool. I want grace. Yeah. They have it. Let me just move around and see what I can receive. Yes. So it is not a surprise that we can also do some things. Yes. So let us acknowledge that the anointing of God upon the prophet of God's life. Because of him, we've come to believe some things. Yes. Because of his mighty stance with God, not moving. Do you know that you would have stopped preaching if your brother-in-laws left you in ministry? Do you know you? I would have told God that, my friend, what is all this? I can't do it. Yeah, his brothers-in-law. I know you know he's two of them. Two of them that he now organized for them to marry his sisters. Left, and not just leaving, talking, and he still stood to continue the ministry till this point. Man, what kind of strength is that? Let's acknowledge the man of God. Can you? I'm not important. Let's acknowledge the man of God. Thank you, sir, for your mighty strength and your mighty leadership. You know, yesterday Bishop Ogo was talking and said that his spirit is here with us. And I'm sure some people were like, oh, what is this? What's all this? That is like we are practicing some whatever. Paul said, it's in the Bible. Paul said it. He says, when you gather, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when you gather, and my 1 Corinthians chapter 5, rather, when you gather and my spirit is with you, when we gather, because he's the founder of the church, his spirit is with us. That is the truth. That is the truth. Hallelujah. Yeah. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's the truth. So thank you, sir, for being a blessing to me, to my family, to my ministry, and to all the things that we are doing. We can't wait for the opportunity to honor you in a way that will beat your mind. We know you've had bad sons over the years, but we want you to know that you have some good sons too around. And we will honor you. We will honor you to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout for the bishop. Please, you may kindly take your seats in heavenly places. I have so many things to share with you. It's almost unbelievable. It's amazing, mommy. When you texted me and you said that you are expecting an overflow of the word, I didn't even know, like, I didn't really. But then when you said that, everything started coming. It's like, talk about this. I'm like, hey, Charlie, they have spoken. It's amazing. So yesterday, I started sharing with you on evangelism, a responsibility for all Christians, isn't it? Yes, a responsibility for all Christians. It's for everybody. It's not for some people. Okay? And I remember mentioning to you concerning Nicolaitanism and how the devil used the emperor of that day to marry the church and the state in order to separate the clergy from the laity. And Jesus said, I hate it. It was not like that before. It's actually a design of Satan. Yes. And if you fall into that, that is the tool Satan uses to deny a lot of Christians from having any reward. Yes. For them to think that, oh, I don't have to do anything. All I need to do is to warm the pews, give my money, and just be around. Yes. So there are a lot of Christians going into eternity, dying and living, who are going with nothing. Because if you read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, look at Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, see the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. So when you die, you are resting from your labors, and your works is what will follow. Reverend, it's good to see you. It's been a long time. Their works is what will follow them. Your works is what will follow you. So if you don't have any work, then you are not entering eternity with any reward. You are not getting anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and I have my reward with me, you know, for all those who would do their work. That's Revelation chapter 22, I think. 22:12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. According as his work shall be. So your house will not translate into eternity. Your car will not go. Do you see? Your work will not go. Your business will not go. None of those things will go. When it hits death, it finishes. As soon as you hit death, the only thing that goes through death and survives is your work for the Lord. Your work in his vineyard, your work in his body. You know, and don't think there's a work of the ministry, but then there's something that the work of the ministry is for. We organize and do all the things that we do in church for one purpose. You see, when the pastor stands before, well, the pastor is to preach and teach the congregation and raise them. For one purpose, so that they can fulfill their ministry of reconciliation. If the pastor faces people outside the church, he's fulfilling his ministry of reconciliation. Everybody, every pastor, we face them as Christians. The fivefold is not a ministry to the world. The fivefold is a ministry to the church. It's to the body of Christ, it's not to the world. We are not called to the world, no. When we stand before the world, we stand as Christians. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Yes, so if you don't move and do anything, if you are only interested in building the body of, building what is inside and not going out there, you are not fulfilling your ministry as a child of God. Yes, that's the truth. That's why every pastor, that's why all the things that we've heard have been said to us. You know, that's why every pastor, every preacher, every child of God, everybody must make sure that that organ of reaching out is working. It has to work. Yeah, I've been corrected. I realized that, Charlie, I'm not doing much.
Yes. I'm not doing much. I have to do more. Yes. Yes. I realize that I have 5 million in my 1 mil semen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have 10 million, but I don't have 40, 50. You need 40, 50 to be able to produce a certain kind of result. So we have to go all out. What do you think? Yeah, do you like what I'm sharing with you, or you don't like what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, so in Colossians chapter 1, Paul talks about the work, the labor that you are rewarded for. Colossians 1, 27. Look at Colossians 1, 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Whom we preach, Christ, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you understand every man? Every man, every man, every man, boy, girl, child, woman, man, every man. Next verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So the labor he was talking about, that you rest on your labor, is the labor of ministering to every man, to all men. Yes. To all men. Say to all men.
All men.
Yeah. And it is a responsibility of all. I salute you, senior ministers of God. Thank you for coming. Yes. All men. All men. It's for all of us. The whole body of Christ. We are the extension of the Lord. We are his outstretched arm. We are his legs. We are the ones he uses to contact this world. If we don't move, nothing will happen. That is the honest truth. That is the honest truth. You see, most of the time, we know that we can't do anything without the Lord. But the other one too is true. The Lord can't also do anything without you. It is the truth. He can't also do anything without you. Because we are one with him. We are his body. We are members of his body, of his bones, and of his flesh. Yes. That's the truth. So he can't do a lot without us. There's nothing he can do without us. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 8, from verse 1, the Bible talks about the persecution that arose after the death of Paul, after the death of Stephen. It says, and Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. There are a lot of churches that go through great persecution, splits, challenges, financial problems, because they don't do what we're supposed to. You see, the church at Jerusalem were given an assignment before Jesus left. Jesus told them, start from Jerusalem, go to Judea, to Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were all, you know, they were enjoying themselves in Jerusalem. They were enjoying the blessing, tea parties and all of those things. Yeah, they were just enjoying themselves. It was lovely, it was nice. And the Lord used Saul, who later became Paul, to disperse the church. Yes. Yes. He was used to disperse the church, and he was also used to build the church. Yeah. 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 So if the church does not move in, all kinds of things. You have all kinds of things coming in. Yes, all kinds of things. Idolatry, homosexuality. You see, there was only one Saul of Tarsus who was wreaking havoc to the church. The way he was changed was through salvation. All those homosexuals who are trying to wreak havoc to the church will become something. The same vigor with which they are trying to destroy the church is the same vigor with which they will use to build the church if they are born again. The solution to our problem in our churches, it's not having conferences and discussing things. What do we need to do? Do we need to welcome them to church? That is not the thing. Salvation, real salvation. If they get born again, the same fire that they are using to destroy the church, they'll use the same fire, just like Paul.
He will use the same fire to build the church. Yeah. Yeah. He says, and at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad, all of them, throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The places where they were supposed to go, and they didn't go. They were scattered abroad in those same places, Judea and Samaria. Everybody's moving. Yeah. Everybody's moving. Wow. Next verse. A devout man carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. They went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere preaching the word. It's for everybody. Yo. If you go on in chapter 11, you see that they are the ones who started the church that was at Antioch. The same group. Yeah, maybe I should show it to you. Go to chapter 11. Can you show it to us? From verse 19. 11:19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, have you seen it? Same group traveled as far as Phoenix. So they went from Samaria, Judea, now they were in Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. Yeah, they went preaching. Next verse. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. None of them was an apostle. None of them was. They are pure church members. Just church members. Yeah. When you remove the church members out of the system, out of how things are, nothing will work. How much can you do as a pastor? You can't do much. You can't do much. That is why we start branches. By God's grace, we have 27 branches. Yeah. And we are adding more. We are adding 30 more before the year ends, and we are adding 40 more next year. Charlie, because I can't be everywhere. I can't. The thing must happen. Things must happen. People are dying. People are perishing. We have to do something. We have to train for people to go. Train and let them go. Don't think that they can't do much. Don't think that they can't do much. You'll be surprised. They will shock you. Don't think they can't do much. I tell our people, listen, if you've been with me for 3 years, you can start a church. Yes. Because Jesus stayed with the disciples for 3.5 years, and he trusted them enough to go, to die and go, and send them, go, you can do it. And they went, and everything has worked. Look at where we are now. If you don't trust them, nothing will happen. Trust them. They can do it. It can be done. Train them for a while. Train them for a while. Create in them the willingness to want to stay somewhere. And then release them. They'll go. You'll be surprised. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, that clergy lady thing must be deleted out of your mind. Yes. It must be deleted out of your mind. You, the pastor, should not try to become a superstar. It's like you are you. There's no difference between you and Lucifer if you do that. Lucifer is the one who wants to be a superstar. Yes. Yes. I will ascend. Hallelujah. And if you allow them to do the work, if you allow everybody, if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be rewarded. In Daniel chapter 12, look at Daniel chapter 12 from verse 1. I'm using a lot of scriptures. I like using a lot of scriptures so that you can see that the thing is in the Bible. Do you understand? Uh-huh. He's spoken about it. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. He's talking about the end time. Next verse. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Or those who are dead shall rise. He's talking about the resurrection. There are two types of resurrection. There's the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. Do you see? Then it says, some to everlasting life. That's the resurrection of the just. They are resurrected unto eternal life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. That is the resurrection of the unjust. Are you saying it? Next verse. Then it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Do you want to shine as a star forever and ever? Or you don't? You don't like such things? Do you like such things? Do you want to shine as a star forever and ever? Yeah, he says that turn many to righteousness. if you turn many to righteousness, this is your destiny. You have a glorious destiny. Yeah, you shall shine as a star forever and ever. Then it says, the first verse, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. He that winneth souls is wise. So the wise ones are those who win souls. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. That's the truth. 1 Corinthians 15 is a record of, it's an expansion of these scriptures. The whole of 1 Corinthians 15 is an expansion of these scriptures. What you do here on earth will determine what kind of a body you receive when you resurrect. Because at the resurrection, we will have a glorified body. Everybody will have a body. Can you imagine that this same body is the same body that will come? But this body will be glorified. Jesus is in the body he was born with by his mother. That is why the grave is empty. But the body is now glorified. That body can now enter buildings without going through doors or windows. When the windows and the doors were all shut, he appeared amongst them. That body can change into another person. Jesus changed into another person when they were on their way to the road of Emmaus. And they couldn't tell it was him. They had been with him for 3.5 years. They couldn't tell it was him. Yeah. So when you receive, Bishop Bruce is here. Let's give him a round of applause. Yeah, welcome, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. So I don't know what kind of a glorious body you want. The souls you are winning will reflect in your glorified body. That's the truth. It will show up. If you didn't do anything, he says you'll be ashamed. There are those who walk naked in the heavens. Oh, it's in the Bible. Yeah. Revelation chapter, show it to us, please. Walk naked. You walk naked. Yeah. How many of you want to walk naked in the heavenlies? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's getting really tenuous, I tell you. Yeah. Can you find it? Or you can't find it? Pastor Kobe, can you help me? Oh, it's not in the Bible. Behold, I come as a thief. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Hey! They will see your nakedness. Everybody will see in the heavens that you, when you were here on earth, you didn't do anything for the Lord. You didn't do anything for the Lord. You didn't do it. This is not to. You see, there is no portion of the Bible where it is written for pastors only. Turn not. Like as you're reading the Bible, you go, then you see a sheet, you know, one of the sheets with an inscription for pastors and preachers only. Turn not, or else. Is there anything like that?
No.
That's not everything. What he says to one, he says to all. Yeah. So all the things you are doing for the Lord, the souls you are winning, and all of that, is for your own benefit. You are not trying to build someone's church. No. Listen, we'll all die and leave the church. Yes. Who hasn't died? Even our Lord died and left. Hey, so you will die and go. It's not about whatever. No. It's not about Bishop Dag and Sons. No. Hey, Charlie, you have made a very big mistake. It's not about your senior pastor that you are building and making him have glory. If he wants to have glory, it is his problem. He will meet his Lord, and he will see what the Lord will do to him. You do your part. You do what God has sent you to do. You are serving the Lord. You are not serving man. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hallelujah. So, it's a work for all. Say it's a work for all. Say it like you mean it. It's a work for all. Hallelujah. Now, one of the things that I'm going to preach from this book, something very powerful from this book, but I'm just giving you prelims to it before I talk about it, okay? If you read the Bible, you will see three cardinal expressions of God's love. Okay? Three cardinal expressions of God's love. The first one is God's love for men, for human beings. God doesn't joke with human beings at all. At all. Okay? God loves people. And you must love people. Yes.
Can you imagine that? You see, people talk about aliens. They don't exist.
It's not true. They are lying to you. They are creating something to make you, you know, hey, something is somewhere. There's nothing somewhere. All those things they see are demons.
Because man has gone to check. We've checked a number of places and there's nobody there. All the planets, Mars, Jupiter, whatever, Saturn, all those things were created because of Earth. All the universes that you can think about were created because of Earth. Where we are. And Earth was created because of us. God made all those arrangements because of human beings. He doesn't joke with human beings at all. That is why in John 3:16 he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved, not the world of stars, lakes, and houses, or trees, but the world full of human beings. Full of people. He doesn't joke with them at all. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, he says, but God commended his love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, while we were of no use to him. Look at the message of that. Message version. Do you like what I'm telling you? I'm trying to show you these three very important things. Okay? But God put his love on the line for us by offering a son in sacrificial death while we were of no use. No use whatever to him. No use. I mean, who buys something that is useless? Who does that? Nobody does that. When humanity was useless, nothing. Bola. Even beyond Bola. Bola is even nice. Because Bola is useful now, isn't it? Yeah, beyond Bola. Yeah. He sent Jesus Christ to come and die. Look at verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? So Jesus did not die for Christians. Jesus didn't die for Christians. He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. That is why he died. So that's the first level of Jesus, of God's love. Okay? It's his love for all, for men, for human beings, for sinners. He doesn't joke with it at all. The second level of his love is his love for his children. So when you become born again, you become a child of God. And when you become a child of God, God has some special love that he has for you. If you read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, look at 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called what?
The sons of God.
Therefore, the world knoweth us not because he knew him not. This is a special love he has for his children. He pours upon them another kind of love. It's different from the first one. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And if you read in the Bible, you will see this, the expression of this love. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 3, from verse 14. Look at Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. What kind of love? The love that God has for you as his child. Next verse. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. He wants you to understand the various dimensions of that love. You see, because understanding the love of God for you as his child changes your life forever. The reason why a lot of Christians have loved the world is because they don't know the love of the Father. Not they loving God, but then they don't know the love of the Father. Keep your finger here. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Oh, I'm showing you too many scriptures. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Do you like scriptures? Look at 1 John 2. Let's read 14. I'm just building something up, okay? I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the what? The love of the Father is not in him. The love that the Father has for you is not in you. You don't understand it. That is why you love the world. So all those who love the world don't understand the love of the Father for them. They've not gotten to know it. They've not gotten to know how much the Father has loved them. How special you are to the Father. How important you are to the Father. How he cannot do without you. That's why you live a useless life, doing all kinds of things. You don't understand his love for you. First John, we're in 1 John 3, 2 now. Go to chapter 4. Let's read verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Look at all this guys. John is saying, we have known and believed. Do you know this man talking here? This is John the Divine. The guy who was fried and didn't die. The guy who was beheaded and didn't die. The guy who was, they tried to pierce him with swords, he didn't die. They did everything, he didn't die. Yeah, well, being he has overcooked. They did everything possible, he didn't die. Why did he have that experience? Because of the understanding he had concerning the love that the Father has for him. So he says, we have known and believed the love that the Father has to us. If you understand his love for you, nothing around you will become a problem. We are more than conquerors through his love. Isn't it? Yeah. We show us that one. Romans chapter what? 8, right? Do you like my message? Hey! If you know his love for you, you will not be afraid if he says go and plant a church somewhere. You may not have money, you may not have anything, but you will go. Because you know that he loves you so much, he will not put you in a corner and make you suffer. He will rescue you at the nick of time. In the nick of time. You know. You see, you are preserving your life because you don't know how much he has loved you. If you knew how much he loved you, you will not preserve your life. You will let go. Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. That's what Paul said. Since the love that Christ has had in our case constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one man died, then did all men die. And if all men died, he died so that those who live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto the one who died and rose again for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. That was what I just quoted. Let's look at that, then we'll come to this one. Okay? For the love of Christ, there's love of Christ, not our love for Christ, but the love of Christ for us. Our considering of what he did for us. What he did, how much he has loved you. He says, constrained us. It hems us in. It hems us in our decision making. If you know how much he has loved you, you will not be afraid. You will not be afraid. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Do you know how much your fear is a sign that you don't know how much he loves you? Why would he lead you to it? Why would he want to destroy your life? No, he doesn't want to destroy your life. He wants to help you. So all the sacrifice will not become a sacrifice at all. You see, you keep saying, I'm sacrificing for the Lord. I'm sacrificing. You are not sacrificing anything. If you know how much he sacrificed for you, you know that you are not sacrificing anything at all. Yeah. Because with that judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Next verse. And that he died, Jesus died for us, so that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You won't live unto yourself anymore, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So you start living for him because you have understanding of his love for you. That's what puts you over in life. That's what brings you the victory in life. The devil will not have a hold on you. Yeah, because you understand the love of the Father for you. You see, Paul talks about the length, the depth, the height, the breadth of his love. The breadth of his love is found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. Look at Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I don't know if you like my message. Do you like my message? The Lord, don't sleep. I know you are tired. I'm aware. We are all tired. Oh, you don't realize that we are tired. But we'll close very soon so I can go and rest and come for the evening session, okay? The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So what is the breadth of his love? It is from everlasting past to everlasting future. It is from eternity past to eternity future. That is the breadth of his love for you. That is the span of his love for you. It spans eternity past to eternity future. There's nothing you can do or will not do that will prevent him from loving you. If you understand that, it liberates you. It liberates you in your life. Yeah. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yes. If you understand how much he has loved you, you will do anything for him. What would walking around to bring someone, leave someone, talk to someone? Well, it would be nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing. Look, eternity past to eternity future. Can't I try? You see, the length of his love is the distance he covered. See, length is distance, isn't it? The distance he covered to get you. He was in heaven, enjoying himself. He had a lovely life, walking on the streets of gold. And he left heaven of heavens and crossed the starry hosts and came and came and came and came down to this earth as a baby. Why? Because of you. That's the length he covered to be able to get you, to come for you to know that he loves you. If he covered that distance, what distance is too far? Who is far away that we can't reach? That's why when I see the prophet moving to these places, I become excited. Like he really understands the love of the Father. There's nobody who is too far away. Nowhere is too far. Because our Lord left the heavenlies and came to earth. Yes. Yeah. If you understand his love for you, the length of his love, you will not sit at home and say, the person, someone just, you have to visit the person, oh, it's too far away. It's too far away. You have no idea. One day, I stood in church. You know, we had a church here at the cabin years ago. And I used to stay at Bokum Estate. And I'd come to the cabin to come and preach. When I got there, Sunday morning, when I got there and I opened my Bible to start preaching, I saw an angel standing in the church. Those are the only, I've had just two encounters like that, two or three. That's one of them. The angel had a book and a pen and was writing the distance I had covered to come to church. And writing reward by it. When I saw that, I said, I'll live very far away from church. I'll live very far away from church. So that I can come. I, the distance covered can be recorded and I'll get my reward. Hey! Whatever journey you move, whatever journey you cover, Paul said, in journeys often. Charlie, be a went about to how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good? He went about. He was moving about. He was a went about. Don't be a Christian who is into staying at one place. Be a went. Move around. Talk to different people. Yeah, different groups. You have plans. We are winning this group. We are winning this group. We are moving. If you understand the distance he covered for you, you will cover any distance for him. You went about. Yeah. For something to happen, for somebody, for someone to be added, for someone to be added, then not to not be too far away for you. To not be too far away for you. No ever. To not be too far away for you. You will go. You will go. And you wouldn't mind sending people to go. Yes. You wouldn't mind. Yeah, because sometimes you're tempted, like, this challenge is too far. Would they even go? Make them understand the love of the Father. This is the distance he covered for you. Why wouldn't you cover some distance for him? You must cover some distance for him. Yeah. The depth of his love. The depth of his love. He loved you so much. He went to the recesses of hell. Down, 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 down. Into the recesses of hell. For you. Which level can't you stoop? Why should you be a Christian who can't stoop low? To get to a certain group of people. My wife has started. She was there. She realized that she's like, I'm not doing much for the Lord. So she went to squatters. You know, she went in deep, 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 deep inside. Weed smokers, drug dealers, whatever, who clean things, people's windscreens on the streets. She picked them into a car and brought them to church. And they've been in church for the last 2 or 3 months. Yeah. And every Saturday they are going. I mean, which death can't you go to? Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you understand how far he went and how much he suffered going down into the heat for you, you will go anywhere for him. See, I'll go anywhere for him. Yeah, you'll go anywhere for him. Yeah. The height of his love. When all was done, he rose from the dead. He came out of the graves, resurrected from the dead, and ascended into the heavenlies. To sit on the right hand of the Father for you, interceding for you. Greater love has no man than this. I mean, who does this? Look at how much he has loved you. Look at how much he has loved you. If you understand,
it will put you over. That's the second level of his love. You see, it's powerful, but it cannot be compared to the first one. Yeah. Look at the third. Let's look at the third level. You can kindly take your seat. The third level of his love. The third level of his love is his love for those who return his love to him. His love, the Father's love for those who return his love back to him. They are children of God who only enjoy the goodness of God. They are in the church to only receive. To receive. I receive it. I inject it. I what? I somersault it. I smear it. I imbibe it. I absorb it. I receive. Take it one. Take it two. Are you taking it or you are not taking it? Hey! That's all. They just want to receive. But you must return his love back to him. Romans chapter 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. It's not for everybody. It's for them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. It's not for everybody. This scripture is not for every child of God. It's for those who love God. Those who love God. Now, I'll show you what it means to love God. Okay? It's for those who love God. If you don't love him, it's not everything that works. It's not all things that work together for your good. Yes. Yes. For the good of them who are called according to purpose. According to his purpose. He has a purpose. God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, you can have four children. And one of them will be so interested in what you are interested in. He's working with you. Your love for that child is different from the three. It's the truth. Because of how close that child is to you. And how interested that child is in what you are interested in. Yeah. My mother used to say, akokwa obe ni mama sre no. Ni mama no owi abeben sre. The chick that is closest to the mother is the one that gets the tie of the grasshopper to eat. If you are not close, you don't get much. So the children of God who are far away, they are using God. They are in to use God. They like the things God gives, but they don't like what God likes. What does God like? God likes people. God likes souls. That is why he's existing. He likes souls. He likes souls. That is the truth. His last words were, go ye. That is it. That is why he came. That is why he came. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? That love him. If you love him, his love for you is different. It's completely different. If you're interested in what he's interested in, even your life is extended. You get long life. Yeah, because God likes you around. When you're around, his purposes will be accomplished. So you give him reason to keep you here for a longer time. If you want your life to be cut short, don't do anything for the Lord. Just be there. Don't be into soul winning. Before long, we'll see what a shock somewhere. Yeah. I saw someone's own evaporated. Yeah. You write evaporated on your obituary. You'll be surprised. Evaporated. I tell you. Hallelujah. Them that love him. Do you love him? If you love him, you will love what he loves. He loves people. He likes people. Yes. He wants them saved. He wants them saved. That is it. 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 I'm closing very soon. Oh, tonight we'll continue. I'm preaching. You know, have you ever seen Bishop Dark say that he's closing and then it's like, you know that kind of So that's the type of closing I'm talking about. You understand now? Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a very short message. Hallelujah. Yeah, God will have all men to be saved, though. This is what God likes. He wants to have what? All men. This is his will. This is what he likes. All men.
everybody to be saved. Everybody. So the evangelism thing, Mommy, God bless you for putting this thing together, for bringing our minds to this particular all important thing. Yeah. This is too important. You know, Jesus was not too, he wasn't interested in building a church. He wasn't though. Do you like building a church, building or gathering people and making sure they are consistent with him for some year? He just a few people. He did 3, 12, 70, 120. That was it. And with them, he reached out to thousands of people. 4,000. When they say 4,000 men, women and children are not counted. And every gathering, women and children are way more. They can be twice or thrice the number of men. We are talking about him reaching 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 people. So we have to change our mind from trying to have a certain church with, you know, it's like you have a certain type of church you are preserving. Hey, yes, preserving a certain group of people. You are preserving them to heaven. You'll be surprised that they may not even be part of your clan. Hey, we have to change our minds to outreach. Like, let's do something for others. There are others who are perishing. It's the truth, though. It is the truth. Yeah, it is the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. He will have all men to be saved. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, next verse. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Let's read the amplified of this particular verse. A cheerful giver. He says, let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. And delights in the one whose heart is in his giving. No. This is, what kind of amplified is this? This is not good amplified. There's the real, proper, old amplified. That says it very nicely. It says, for God loves, he takes pleasure in and prizes above all. Yes, he takes pleasure in and prizes above all. A man who is a prompt to do its giver, whose heart is in his giving. So when you're interested in giving to what God is interested in, he says he doesn't joke with you at all. He doesn't joke with you. There are people that God will run to. He will run to their rescue. Yeah. When you return his love for him, you are in a different category altogether. You are different. You are different. You are different. And you see, God is so interested in this particular, his agenda of winning the whole world, to the extent that he will do anything for you to make sure that you do what he has sent you to do. Because like I said, without you, it cannot be done. So let's pick Peter's life, for example. How many of you know Peter? In John chapter 20, okay, when at the resurrection of Christ, when the women went to check and realized that the tomb was empty and they came back to come and tell Peter and the disciples, the Bible says that Peter and John started running to the tomb. But John states that when they were running, verse 4, it says, so they ran both together. Go to 3 into verse 4. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So Peter and that John was talking about himself, but he didn't mention his name. So it was Peter and John who were running to the sepulchre to go and check if what the women were saying was true. Now, as they were going, Peter, okay, was the one taking the lead. He was running with speed. As he started running, he started slowing down. So he says, and he's to, go back, verse 4. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. Now everything that the Bible says has significance. Don't think that it's nothing. Why did Peter slow down? Whilst Peter was running, he remembered that he had
He remembered. Do you remember what he did? He had denied the Lord 3 times. So he was running with a guilty feet. Initially, he was running with excitement, but then he remembered. I denied this guy 3 times 3 days ago. So he started slowing down. And John didn't have that problem because John was the one who was at the foot of the cross. He was the only disciple at the foot of the cross. John was the one who went into the Sanhedrin to go and negotiate Jesus' release. You know John did that. John went into, because the Bible says his relatives were part of the priest. So he went in there to go and try to release Jesus. Whilst every disciple had run away, he was around. He was at the foot of the cross. Yeah. Because he was the only one who understood the love of the Father for him. He was the only one who understood the love that Christ had for him. So because of that understanding, he was not afraid. He could go anywhere. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So Peter remembered. He remembered how he had denied, because he had said that, listen, Master, in Matthew chapter 26, he said that, Master, even if everyone denies you, I will not deny it. Look for it. Matthew 26. Let me show you what he said. Are you enjoying the word or you are not enjoying the word? Matthew 26, verse 33. One of the things that prevents a lot of Christians is guilt. And that's what God says I should come and address this morning. Okay? That's what God says I should come and talk about this morning. God says I should help you with your guilt. Your guilty conscience. Because you realize that you do a lot of wrong things. You realize that you are not correct. You are not pure. How many of you realize you are not pure? You are not pure. You are not so pure. You break the Lord's heart every day. With your thoughts, your actions, and your inactions. Is it true? So if you are not careful, it's like you are running to the Lord, but then you remember. So as you are preaching about soul winning, and you want to do it, but then you remember that, Charlie, I am not pure. I'm not that pure. I'm not that good. I'm not correct. I'm not qualified. I'm too limited. Even after yesterday's cross, still. Hey. So God told me to come and talk to you about that. Yeah. Yeah. You see, God is your number one restorer. Because of the work. Because of what you need to do. He will do for you. He's your chief, like Bishop Bruce is saying, he's your chief supporter. And he will do anything to make sure you are empowered to do what he wants you to do. So stop worrying. Stop looking at yourself. It says looking unto Jesus. That scripture says looking away from everything that will distract unto Jesus. That's a Greek. Yeah. Do you have Amplified? Looking away from all that will distract. Have you seen it? Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus. There are a lot of things that will want to distract you. The sin that so easily besets you. Lord, I'm into masturbation. I don't think I can do anything for you. Listen, if you masturbate one, tell the devil that I'll preach and bring 5 people to the Lord. If you like, let's look at it. That's what you should tell the devil. Do it. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, do you understand? It's like you don't like my. Do you like what I'm saying to you? You watch porn, so it's like, hey, it's finished. I can't do anything for the Lord. What are you talking about? My friend, wash your face and go and do the ministry. Do you? I thought you'd be happy about my message. It's like you don't like my message. Yeah. Listen, just do the work. Just do what he wants you to do. Don't allow anything to prevent you. Yeah. Listen, none of us are here doing the things we are doing. Okay? Because we are perfect. There's not even a single person. In this book, Bishop Dag addresses it. Make yourself saviors of men. Chapter 12. So powerful. When I saw it, I was like, man. Amen. The Great Commission according to James. James chapter 5, verse 17. I'll come back to Peter, okay? Let's talk about James a little. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Next verse. Brethren, if any of you do not err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So he links Elijah's experience with this particular thing. And that's what Bishop Dak talks about. He says, the Great Commission is a commission for men with like passions. Like passions. Like passions. Do you have some animals moving in your flesh? Do you have some things running through your thoughts? Animals. Hey! It's not easy, oh. But listen to what the prophet says. Apostle James points out that Elijah was a man with weaknesses and feelings just like all of us. Weaknesses and feelings. Do you know Elijah? He says Elijah had weaknesses and feelings. Feeling. Ask your neighbor, do you have feelings? Do you have feelings? It's like this people, they don't have feelings. Do you have feelings? Do you have feelings? Feelings. Things are running through you. Running through your mind. You want to go to places you are not supposed to go to. Hey! It's not easy. Elijah was a man with weaknesses and feelings just like all of us. In spite of this, you see, the statement is, in spite of this, in spite, don't let anything limit you. Don't let anything limit you. Listen, it is like that. It says, know that your brethren in the whole world are going through the same temptations, same problems, same problems. Yeah. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Accomplished. They're all your brothers in the world. Same problems. You feel you are not correct? Bishop Dag also feels it's not correct. But in spite of that feeling, in spite of it, he's still moving. He's still pushing. He's still preaching. He's still going. In spite of the problems, of the challenges, of the seeming passions and things. I am not standing here because I'm a perfect. I have problems. I have had, I still have, and I may have. But in spite, no matter what is ahead, makes no difference. When the devil tries to bomb you out, you tell him, listen, I am Terminator 5. When you bomb me, I'll still come again. I'm coming again. And this time around, I'm coming with more vigor, with more power, with more grace. What do you mean? Yeah, don't look at the devil and say, the devil is after me, he's chasing me, he's bringing a lot of things to my way. This one, right now, I can't stand it. When I see the ladies, I'm only seeing a chewable sheep. I'm seeing kebab. I'm not seeing sheep anymore, I'm seeing kebab. Listen, tell the devil, whether we see kebab or not, we'll still preach, we'll still go, we'll still do the work. Yeah. The Lord is sponsoring you. The Lord is the one helping you. You will do what God wants you to do. Listen, don't let anything bomb you out. Don't let anything. Yeah, because the devil will try. He will do things. He will bring things your way. Yeah. He will bring things your way to want to bomb you into pieces. So that your voice is not heard again. I can't count the number of young people who have been denied their ministry of reconciliation because of porn and masturbation. It's like a cancer. And the devil is using it Yeah. When you lift, always say, lift up holy hands. Then as you are lifting,
then the devil say, hey, hey, hey. Wait, which hands? Which hands? Put your hands down. Foolish one. Come and put your hands down. Tell the devil, whether you like it or not, we are lifting them, their holy hands. Hey! We are lifting them, whether you like it or not. Yeah. As you start moving, you are going for soul winning. As you are going like that, the devil says, look at your legs. These legs were the legs that you used to go in. Where did you go yesterday? Where did you go yesterday? Why are you going? Tell him, wherever I went to yesterday makes no difference. We go do the work. We go do for the Lord. We go do it. What do you think? Give the Lord a shout if you like my message. In spite of this, God used him and answered his prayers. God, in spite of this, yeah. Peter had denied the Lord, though. He denied him with vim. Listen, the young girl said, hey, you are one of them. You even look like him. He said, hey, your mother. What do you mean? Have you seen me before? My friend, stop talking like that. I swear my father can't turn up. I don't know this man. Lie. I don't know this man. Allah. I don't know this man. I don't know. Abi Fisherman. I don't know this man. He had denied the Lord. Denied him with strength. So when the Lord rose on the dead, he was going, he was feeling guilty. Now, do you know what Jesus did? When Jesus rose on the dead and was on his way and offered the sacrifice, he left an angel there. In Mark chapter 16, you see it there. The angel told the ladies, he said, go and tell my brethren and Peter. Go and tell my brethren and Peter. Why? The Lord wanted to restore him. To let him know that, listen, show it to us. Show it to us how they see it. They see that the pastor is not lying. Yeah. And to Peter. Mark 16:7. But go your way and tell his disciples. I thought Peter was also part of the disciples. Yeah, but he had a special case. The guilt was too much. Jesus was going to lose the apostle of apostles. And he wouldn't allow it. He wouldn't allow guilt to bump Peter out. So he said, go and tell my disciples, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. Go and tell Peter. Go and tell Peter. Go and tell Peter. Go and tell him. That he's I'm fine. I'm cool with him. I am cool with him. Yes, you denied me, but I'm cool with you. I still like you. I still want you. I still want you to do what I want you to do. I'm giving you another chance. I'm giving you many more opportunities. Listen, the Lord has not left you. The Lord has he likes you. He uses blood to purchase you. Don't you understand? He purchased you with his own blood. Why do you want something? Some lies that you told. An abortion you did. Oof. Because of some one abortion you did, it's like your life has come to you can't do anything for the Lord. You can't win a soul. You can't talk to anybody. Because it's like when you are talking, that guilt comes. It's all this that you are saying. Look at you. Look at your life. Listen. Listen. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to use you. Who else is he going to use? Your brethren. Everybody. Challenges, problems. You have to climb out of that. Climb out of the guilty consciousness. Yeah. Run faster. Run faster. Run. You see, and in John chapter 21, Jesus appeared to restore him even further. John 21 from verse 15. Yeah, he appeared and had a special time with Peter. For the purpose of restoring him. And this time, Peter was very careful when he was talking. Jesus said unto him, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? Jesus was using a particular word, agapao. Do you love me unconditionally? Under no circumstance will you still love me? Peter knew what had happened some few days earlier. So he replied, you see, he said unto him, yeah, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. The word love there is filio. I like you as a friend.
I have friend. Peter didn't want to commit himself now. He said, I won't pay trouble. Because he had just said, listen, master, if everybody, me, I'll be there. And he denied him 3 times. So this time when he was there, he was like, master, agapao, all circumstances, I can't trust myself. I don't know. Sometimes the devil beats you so much, you can't even trust. It's like, you don't know whether you are even a Christian or you are not a Christian. Like, you are basa, you don't know. Am I preaching to somebody or I'm not preaching to somebody? Like, the devil is really beating you. Hey! You don't know. You can't tell whether you are born again or not born again. But the Lord came to come and tell him, listen, if you love me, then feed my lambs. Yeah. If you love me, if you agapao me, if you filio me, feed my lambs. Jesus also used filio. Yeah. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. If you say you love me, then feed. Feed my people. Do you love the Lord? Focus on feeding. Yes. Focus on doing the work. Focus on doing something for him. Yeah. Focus on it. Focus. Okay? Focus. Just focus. Don't allow anything to distract you. Listen, if you read in the Bible, you can take your seats for some few minutes. Wow. If you read in Matthew chapter 1, you see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And 4 women are mentioned. Just 4. Apart from Mary, the mother of Jesus, there were 3 others who were mentioned. Names you would never think would be mentioned in association with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They are not supposed to mention their names. No, they are not supposed to. The first person that is mentioned is Tamar. Do you know Tamar? Tamar is the one who disguised herself as a prostitute in order to sleep with the father-in-law to raise a seed. That's what she did. Very bad woman. Hey. Yet her name is inside. And Judas begat Phares of Zara, of Tamar. Do you understand? In spite of. In spite, like passions. In spite of the problems she had and the things she did, her name is inside. Where is Rebecca? The matriarchs. Yeah, the polished, no problem, correct people. Where are they? No Sarah. No Leah. No Rebecca. They are all not here. Tamar. And she puts her widow's garments off from her. This is Genesis 38, verse 14. And covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him to wife. Like Judah had promised that when the younger one grows, because her husband had died and she didn't have any children. So Judah promised that, when my son grows, I'll give him to you so that you can have a child. And it was not happening. So she decided to disguise herself. Yeah. And went to sit down somewhere like she's a prostitute. Yeah. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot because she had covered her face. And Judah said, hey, let's be happy. Okay, Judah also has problems. Can you see Judah also has problems? But Judah is a tribe where Jesus comes from. You there, be there. Hey! Yeah. In spite of, her name is mentioned. Charlie, do the work. When the devil says, hey, tell him, hey. You have no respect. Come on, get out. My Lord has died and he has sent me. Yes. It's a war. Expect to have a bullet, shot at you. Do Odesh. Do you know Odesh things? When they shoot you, pa, Odesh. Then you shake yourself and continue. Yeah. Don't let offenses prevent you. Don't let what someone said become a problem. Yes. Don't. Be confident. Okay? Be confident. The next person who is mentioned is Ruth. Do you know Ruth? Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile. She didn't even have a covenant with God. She was from Moab. And she had had many problems. Her husband had died. So many problems. With her widowed mother-in-law. Yes. Picking grain. No, like, there's nothing. No proper work. Sometimes it's like, oh, I don't really have much. Can I give? Listen, if Elijah had taken the cake from the widow in this 21st century, would have made the news. Wicked prophet takes from a dying widow, whatever. Yeah. Hey. Well, you see, that's what the Lord needs. The Lord needs you're small. You cannot have much if you don't give your small. That's the truth. That is the truth. You can't circumvent that particular theory. It's not possible. You want to have much in anything. You see, it's not just giving money, giving your time. You don't have much time. Give that one. Give that to the Lord. You will have more time. You'll be surprised. Yeah. You'll be surprised. You are going to, like, we are writing, so there's no time for whatever. No, give the small that you have to the Lord. You'll be surprised at the little you learn and what will happen in the exam. You'll be shocked. We don't, by now, you should know that we don't pass exam by study. By now, you should know. The university should have taught you that lesson, that it is not by might. Or you don't know. By now you should know. By now you should know. You should know. Yeah. Ruth is mentioned. Gentile, no covenant with God. Like an outcast. She's mentioned in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The last person, her name was not even mentioned. They said Uriah's wife. Because she was not David's wife. So the Lord remembered and said, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Like, it's still in the memory of the Lord. This was a great mistake, but I got Solomon out of it. Wow. Sometimes you're great. It's like, oh, I've had one child, no father. So it's like my life is over. That child could be a bishop. You dear, don't sit down and do what you are supposed to do for the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Problems, challenges should not limit you. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, just as you and I are. Yeah. So this afternoon, I came to tell you, don't let anything stop you. They were all some way people. They were all some way people. But they were used. Let me show you one last scripture. I have so many things, but in the evening we'll continue. Okay, we'll continue. Yes, we'll continue. Yeah. Let me show you. This scripture has been misconstrued for a long time. I want to show it before you go. John chapter 15 from verse 1. The Father is your number one sponsor. He's your number one supporter. He likes you. He wants you to do the thing. Do the work. In spite of. Not because of. Don't think. I'll talk about righteousness in the evening. Three levels of righteousness. Yeah. How God covers that in order for you to have confidence to do his work. Yes. Yeah. The Lord is telling me to encourage you. That's basically. Yes. Because we've heard so many things. Oh. I mean, I can't go back to those things. But he wants me to encourage you. That challenge, that thing, you go feed one. You go feed one. You go feed one. No matter the problems, we still go do one. What do you think? We'll still do it. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman or the farmer. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, the word taketh away, most of us think that it means he will cut you and take you out. But that's not what it means. The Greek word taketh away, you can check it. If you have interlinear, you can check it for yourself. The Greek word is aero, A-I-R-O. And it means to take up
or to take from the ground. He's talking about vine, grapes. Do you see? A vine tree. Now, a vine tree will not bear fruit. The branches will not, sometimes the branches can grow into the ground. Instead of growing up, they grow into the ground. They enter the soil. And when they enter the soil, they can't produce fruits. And all the farmer needs to do is to raise it from the soil or raise it from the ground. And then it will start bearing fruits. And that is what he said when he said, take it away. That's the word take it away is to raise. The ground represents the earth, the world, and the challenges of the world. So when the challenges of the world is beating you, it's like you are inside the world. Do you see? As a child of God, because he's a vine and we are the branches. We are inside him. We are inside him. You are still his child. He says the husbandman, the father, will bring his love and take you from the ground, take you from the earth. When he realizes you are not producing fruit, he's interested in you producing fruit more than you are interested in. So he will take you from the ground. Not cut you away. He's not interested in cutting you away. If he cuts you away, the devil has won. If he cuts you away, the devil has won. God said to Moses, get away from me and let me kill all of Israel. Moses said, if you do that, all men will say that you couldn't bring them out and take them in. You couldn't do it. He has brought you out from the world. He wants to take you into where he wants you to be. And he will not lose you. The Lord has made a choice that he will not lose you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He will not lose you. So he's ready to take you from the ground. That's what the arrow, to take it from the ground. Yeah. He takes away. They are all saying he takes away. But it's actually, oh, you can check. Does anybody have interlinear? BB, let's check BB. Do you have BB? Bible in Basic English. What does it say? Mm-hmm. No, so that's another batch. I want you to see the takeaway. But is it arrow? Like I was saying? Okay, then define the arrow for. Maybe they think the pastor is lying. You see, the bishop who spoke about winneth, he that winneth souls, and showed that it's actually marriage. Uh-huh. That's how this one too is. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
To raise up, to elevate.
It means to raise up.
To elevate.
To take away means to raise up. To take away means to elevate. So he will elevate you. He will come in when you have problems and elevate you. And take you up from the ground, from the soil, from your worldliness, and bring you up so that you can bear fruit. Then the next one, he says that, and every branch in me that bear fruit, he pruneth. The word prune is katero. And that one means to wash. He was not talking about cutting. He took to wash it.
To cleanse of filth and impurity.
Of filth and impurity. You don't cut the grape for it to be pruned. You wash. Grapes are pruned by washing. How do you wash? Next verse. Verse 3. Ye are cleansed through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God is the water that cleanses you. For you to be able to produce results. So the Lord, in Revelation chapter 1, when the Lord was revealed in glory, he was gathered about the paps with the girdle. You know, the paps is the breast. He was covered. Instead of having the girdle around his waist, when someone has his girdle around his waist, it means that the person is a servant. But when the person has the girdle around the paps, the breast, it means that the person is a mother. Mothers are the ones who gird their paps with cloth. The Lord was girded in eternity, even in eternity, even in his glory. He's girded about with the paps, meaning that he is the one who is ready to take care of you, to supply you your needs, and help you in your problems, and feed you with what you require, and cleanse you so that you can produce results. So the Lord is not ready to give up on you. He will never give up on you. He will never give up on you. Yeah, that's his job in your life, to wash you, to take you up and wash you with the water so that all the dust of the world can leave you, so that you can produce results, so that you can produce fruit. So he's interested in your life. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Rise up upon your feet. Maybe you are here and you've been wanting to give up. Rise up upon your feet. The Lord is telling me to tell you that he's here.
He's here to help you. To help you. To help you. Your somewayness is actually to his advantage. Lift up your hands right now. Talk to the Lord. I want you to behold the Lord and receive his help for you. Receive his help for you. If you realize you have been in the ground for a long time, tell him, Lord, take me up. Take me up and wash me. Take me up and wash me. Kolabala, shodala. I want to be more like you. I want to be more like you. Wanna be more like you, Jesus.
I wanna be more like you.
Talk to the Lord right now. Tell him, Lord,
Jesus, I wanna be
more like you. Minister to me.
I wanna be more like you,
like Jesus. Talk to the Lord. Tell him, wash me, cleanse me, help me. That's what he's there for. Take away that guilt from my mind, so that I can do what you want me to do. He's here to arrow you, to catero you, to wash you, cleanse you. Sing once again. Still seeing the Lord minister to you. I'm seeing the Lord talk to you with this voice of love, letting you know that I'm here for you. Don't run away from me. I hate sin, but I have the cure for sin. I see the Lord using his word to wash you right now and giving you another opportunity, another chance. Another opportunity to come back to where you have fallen from, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Kalaba shadala, me dolo ho dalaba. Father, thank you for your children, even in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you been blessed? Wow, give the Lord a shout. You have been blessed. Hallelujah.